Amen. Excuse me. Go ahead and be turning to Luke 19. I hope you are encouraged. God is at work. He's always been at work and will continue to be at work. Like you saw in the video, go ahead and be marking your calendars because, God willing, next Easter weekend, we're going to be going up to Raleigh, North Carolina for the Southeastern Conference and all the churches from the Southeast. And we've also invited brothers and sisters from Virginia and all the way down to Florida. Okay, so that's going to be the Easter weekend of next year. So go ahead and making your plans. It's going to be tremendous, tremendous time. Amen? So if you missed out on San Antonio, here's your chance. You know, it's great to be in a church. It's great to have our own local congregation. But honestly, brothers and sisters, when you and I go to conferences, the fellowship, the atmosphere, you just can't replicate that anyplace else. You just can't do it. And that's why I believe very strongly that it's an investment in our spiritual future. You know, to be able to see brothers and sisters who have the same mindset that we do, who have the same mission and the same purpose, just being able to visit with them and be encouraged by them, and you be able to share about your life, there's just nothing like it. Are you with me? And so, again, I want to encourage us to start getting ourselves ready for the SEC next year. That's the next big thing we're going to be doing around here in our fellowship of churches in the next 12 months. Amen? Amen? I know that many of us came back and are still very fired up, and that needs to continue to be the case, that we came back from San Antonio making very specific decisions, really deciding to change, really deciding to be the disciples God has called us to be. Are you with me? And the truth is, it's easy to be fired up 3 weeks to a month out of the, you know, right after the event. The question is, are we going to be still as focused 3 months from now? 4 months from now? 6 months from now? A year from now? Because Satan does not want us to see this city and this county and this world evangelized. And that's why every single day he's out there opposing you and me. Are you with me? It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And our prayer should be that God will always keep us focused on what's really important. You know, in the news every day, we hear about, you know, people passing on. You know, sometimes it's through, you know, by some tragedy. And but people die every day. You know, a lot of times you would hear on the news, you know, when somebody very famous passes on, whether it's a movie star or some prince or princess, or, you know, sometimes, you know, on our highways. But we hear such things really every night. And what happens is a lot of times we become very jaded to it because we're still used to hearing those news every day. You remember Christmas of 2004? When that tsunami happened in the Southeast, in Southeast Asia, and 150,000 people died in one day. Obviously, that caught our attention. People mobilized from all around the world to help those guys, and rightly so. But 150,000 people lost their lives during that tsunami. You and I were able to even watch it on television. Because these days, you know, with all the iPhones and all the technology, I mean, people were videoing this stuff as the water was coming in. It was an amazing thing to watch. Brothers and sisters, I submit to us that there's a spiritual tsunami going on. Because guess what? 150,000 people die every day in this world to an eternity without Jesus. Now, we're not going to read about that on the news. But that's what's going on every single day. 150,000 people going to an eternity without God. And that's why you and I need to do something about it. Amen? In Luke chapter 19, beginning verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We know this passage. We've read it so many times. We've heard the story. Jesus encounters Zacchaeus, told him, I'm going to be staying at your house tonight. Obviously, he said, okay, and welcomed him in. Somewhere along the line, you know, he gathers his buddies, his quote-unquote sinner friends. And the scripture doesn't tell us that Jesus preached, but you better believe he preached. I say again, I think a lot of times we read the scriptures and we think, okay, what we read is all that happened. All right? All this stuff happened in the course of one evening. So it wasn't as if, oh yeah, Zacchaeus, I'm spending the night at your house tonight. He comes down, they come in, all these guys are gathered there. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus gets up. Okay, I'm going to give everybody back what I took from them and all that stuff. And, you know, Jesus makes this statement. That's not the way it happened. We don't know how long, but I believe Jesus preached the word. And the key to me is, how do I know? Because of Zacchaeus' response. He says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What is he doing right here? He's repenting. You know, this guy, the Bible tells us, was a tax collector. Okay? The IRS of that time. All right? You and I, you know, even today, people say, yeah, we pay taxes. I see that differently. We don't pay taxes. They just take it. Okay? That's why they take it out before they pay you the balance. Are you with me? But we say we pay taxes. But, you know, Zacchaeus was working for the IRS back then. But these guys would cheat and they were notorious of, you know, charging more. If somebody was meant to pay, maybe, again, I'm making numbers up, $20, they'll say, well, it's for you it's 25. And they were extorting money from people that way. And that's how a lot of them got wealthy. And remember, when Jesus was picking one of his apostles, one of them was a tax collector. Okay? Just like Zacchaeus. As a matter of fact, we're told that Matthew was a chief tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief. There were probably some tax collectors that reported to him. But bottom line is, these guys were wealthy because they used their position to enrich themselves. Jesus must have preached the word, and he was convicted by what was said. And he stood up and said, you know what? Okay, I'm turning myself in. He says, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do is give half my possessions to the poor. We don't know how much money he had, but that sounds to me like a lot of money. Okay? Yeah, you may argue that, yeah, a lot of it is stolen money, but, you know, he said, I'm giving half of it back to the poor. And he says, if I have cheated anybody, he should have said, in my opinion, and all the people have cheated, I'm going to pay back four times. Not if. Because I'm sure he did. Okay? But anyway, he says, you know what? I'll give back four times the amount. The point was, he repented. And you and I are being called, even today, to go call people to repent. To go call people to change. What is repentance? We all know the Greek word is metanoia. which means to turn around, to have a mind change. We turn towards God. Are you with me? That's the message. Our message is not to go baptize people. People who repent, I promise you, will get baptized. But the message is calling men and women to change. Those who are lying, to stop lying. Those who are living a double life, to stop living double life. Those who are cheating on their wives or their husbands, to stop it. Those who smoke, to stop smoking. Those who are doing drugs, to stop doing drugs. Those who are abusive to their wives or girlfriends, to stop it. That's the message. Those who are sleeping with people they are not married to stop it. That's the message. You and I are being called to call people to repentance. Are you with me? And we can't shy away from it. Because that's all Jesus did. That was all our brothers and sisters did back in the first century. Was calling men and women to repentance. Amen? You were called to repentance. You remember sitting down talking about sin? And seeing Galatians chapter 5? I read Galatians 5. I thought somebody had taken a picture of my life. Except for a few sins there. I had done everything. Except for a few. I was guilty. As charged. It was like, wow. And then the one that really got me also in that passage was when at the end when Paul says, and the like. Ooh, there's a lot of and the like. And that passage ends by saying, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I read that passage over 26 years ago, and I knew I was in trouble. Yes, I believed in God. Yes, I even went to church on Sunday mornings. I gave contribution. I wasn't given a tithe. You know, because my attitude was, I don't know what these guys are doing with my money. There ain't no way I'm giving them 10%. Okay? But I called myself a Christian and I went to church. When the contribution plate was coming, I would put money in there. I believed in God. But I was not living the life that the Bible teaches and talks about. And I had to make a decision to repent. Now, obviously, as Christians, we continue to repent. It's not as if, you know, after we became Christians, like I've said so many times before, now we're redeemed sinners. We will sin, prayerfully, not deliberately. But when we sin, we need to confess it, we need to repent of it, and we need to keep going. Are you with me? And the blood of Jesus will continue to wipe away everything. As long as we stay on the straight and narrow path. But the message is repentance. It is not a popular message. It is not an easy message. I mean, look at the last, what is it? I guess a week and a half. All this hoopla with Chick-fil-A. I mean, the man got up. He owns the company. Let me say that a different way. His father owns the company, or started the company. He's the CEO of Chick-fil-A, saying, I believe that, you know what, traditional marriage is between a man and a woman. And what happened? People went after him. Such that, I believe yesterday was declared Chick-fil-A Day. A lot of people went over there and stood in line and, you know, to support the restaurant. But they're right. You know, telling people that, you know what, same-sex attraction is not natural is not a popular message. We're not trying to turn people into becoming heterosexuals. You know, the thing I always have a problem with, and I still do, is, you know what, I have a problem with a man who is not married to somebody, lost them. It is still sin. Believe me, there's a lot more heterosexual sin going on in the world than there are with homosexual sins. The Bible talks about both. Just like, you know, a man who's not married to somebody cannot give in to those urges, the same thing for somebody who's got same-sex attraction to somebody of the same sex. And we're calling them to repentance. That's all it is. We're not saying their human rights should be denied. No. But we're saying, God says, you're not married with to somebody. You have no business sleeping with them. That is not a popular message, church. Are you with me? But we've got to get out there and speak those words. Speak those convictions. Show people the scriptures. Are you with me? I was a heterosexual sinner before I became a Christian. I'm glad somebody was man enough to sit me down and ask me questions. He said, wait a second. Your girlfriend came to visit you from out of town? And you guys stayed in the same apartment all weekend? And I got very defensive. Hey, nothing happened. And I'll never forget, he asked me, he says, what do you think the neighbors are thinking? And you call yourself a Christian. And I'll forget, he opened up the Bible and he showed me Ephesians chapter 3. Where it talks about, that, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. I saw those verses, I said, I need to repent. And here I am, over 26 years later. Something similar probably happened with you. Somebody loved you enough and looked at you, a brother or sister, and said, you know what? I changed. Guess what? It's time for you to change. I repented of my sins. It's time for you to repent of your sins. And that's really what the message is. That's how salvation comes to people's lives. Amen? Now let's look in Matthew 28, a passage we're very familiar with. And in Mark 16, you'll see, you know, the same idea. But I want us to look at the one in Matthew 28. What is called usually the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, beginning verse 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. A lot of us, we can quote this verse in our sleep. We know it. The issue is not whether we know it. The issue is whether we're living it. And I believe for us, that's where the repentance comes in. Jesus says, you know what? I have all authority in heaven and on earth, and it has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say go find disciples. He says go make them. Okay? You know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and we're just talking about cooking. I said, you know, I don't like to cook. And they asked me why. I said, you know, it takes too long. You know? I mean, you're standing there, and you're putting stuff in, and it takes half an hour, 45 minutes. Like, man, I can't wait that long. I just want to eat. Now, I love to eat, but I don't like to cook. You know, if I had supernatural powers, I would just whoop every time I'm hungry. It's like, what do I feel like eating right now? Okay, some really nice spaghetti with meatballs and voila. I'm not going into the kitchen. I don't like to cook. But you see, if you're going to eat, you got to take the time to make the food. Are you with me? I mean, if you desire to maybe have a nice piece of chocolate cake, you can think about it all you want. Until you do the mix, pour it into the pan, put it in the oven, you know, let it, you know, bake for whatever long it is, 25 minutes to half an hour, and then you get it out. That's the only time you're going to be able to eat that cake. Are you with me? A cake doesn't just show up. Now, it shows up when somebody else has bought it or baked it, all right? But you know what I'm talking about. You got to make it. The same thing with being a disciple. You and I have been called to go make disciples. To go call men and women to make God the most important thing in their lives. And that is something God calls every one of us to be doing. It just can't be a few people. I have a command from God to obey these verses. You have a command from God to obey these verses. Are you with me? And so, he says, go and make disciples and then baptize them. Part of making a disciple, obviously, is calling them to repentance. Okay? If you don't talk about sin, if you don't talk about discipleship, repentance, you got no business baptizing them. Are you with me? People get baptized every day. It's not even a religious word. Baptizo simply means to immerse, to submerge. I know some of you have been watching the Olympics. You know, every time Michael Phelps or Ryan Lochte, when they take that dive, or, you know, what's that young girl's name? Missy Franklin. Every time they take that dive, they're getting baptized, literally. That's what the word means. Now, they're not saved. Every time, you know, they get into an Olympic swimming pool. It's not a religious word. Are you with me? You and I have been called to go make disciples. Then those who decide to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, after they've repented, we now go baptize them. Are you with me? And then he says, after that, you teach them to obey everything. That is how you and I became disciples. That is how we will continue to make disciples. And guess what? It's one by one. We can't mass produce this. Now, I can get on television. Okay? We can do it in such a way where, you know, we have cameras. And I don't like cameras, so that's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. You notice I was not in that video with the buses. That was deliberate. But anyway, we can have cameras, and I can preach a lesson and tell them, you know what? Come forward. Come and accept Jesus into your heart. Come and pray for salvation. And this church will triple in the next 3 months. But that's not the message. That isn't the message. Discipleship is one by one. Bringing salvation to people one by one. Amen? And it's exciting. There's nothing like, you know, sitting with somebody who's really wanting to know God better and really get their lives right. There's not like just sitting down with them, opening up the Bible, and watch the Holy Spirit do its work. And you see this man or this woman just turn their heart around and totally fall in love with God. There's nothing like it. It's an incredible thing. Are you with me? And so, brothers and sisters, that's what God has called us to. That's what he's always called us to. And the question is, are we just going to be much as focused on this right now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? It needs to be something that we think about and are focused and are praying about every day. I want to encourage us to make a prayer list where write down the names of people that you work with, that you want to see become disciples, that you want to bring this message of salvation to. Start praying for them. It's a spiritual thing. The devil is working actively every single day, not wanting people to listen to this. That's what he talks about in 2 Corinthians, that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That's why they can't understand this. But let's make that list. You know, have your co-workers on it. Have your neighbors on it. Have your classmates on it. Have your family members on it. Start praying for them. Now, is God going to answer that prayer for some of us in the next month or two? Yes.
For some of us, it may take another 3 years. But at least we're praying for people. Are you with me? We're begging people. We're begging God for the souls of men and women. Because again, as scripture clearly teaches, no one can come to God unless God enables them. Amen? So let's start praying for people. You know, number two, as we go along our days, open your mouth. Make the most of every opportunity. Somebody comes into your store where you work, or somebody comes to your office, ask you about something. Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, what are you doing Sunday morning? Make the most of every opportunity. Amen? You never know. When I'm out there reaching out to people, one of the things I always ask people is, have you ever been invited to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett? And I get the same answer every time. Nope. I said, could you come again? What was the name of your church? Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Never heard of it. There's close to a million people in this county. Okay? And there's only about 280 of us, give and take. But most people have never heard about our church. Maybe you've met somebody that's, oh yeah, I know somebody from your church or whatever, but I haven't met somebody yet who's told me that they've heard about our church. Are you with me? And so I'm saying, let's get out there, let's get the word out. Amen? Let's start praying for people. And God will, the Holy Spirit will guide you. You know, it's very exciting. The young man that was baptized last week that I introduced on Sunday, Justin, he just graduated from graduate school and he's doing two jobs, trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life. And he walks in the Nike outlet store at Discover Mills. He's talking to, on his own, you know what, I need to change my life around. I need to draw closer to God. And he starts reading his Bible on his own. And so he's having a conversation with one of the girls, one of his co-workers in the store on this particular day, and says, you know, where do you go to church? You know, I'm looking for a church. And, you know, the girl said, well, you know, I'm not really into church, all this, whatever. And that was the end of it. An hour later, Fred walks into that store. And he has a t-shirt on that says, Jesus Got Skills. And Justin saw the t-shirt and said, hey, that's a very nice t-shirt. He basically introduced himself. And that's how they started talking. And he obviously got into the Bible and now he's a Christian. I mean, think about it. Of all the t-shirts that Fred owns, he decided to wear that one on that particular day. You think that was accident? I don't think so. And I share that because there are people out there like that searching. I mean, some of you have those kind of stories where, you know, you were searching for God, you know, reading your Bible, knowing that, you know what, my life is not right. And all of a sudden, somebody stopped you and started talking to you and invited you to church. Amen? The Holy Spirit is doing its work. But we must play our part by opening up our mouths. Not being afraid of people. I talked about that. Was it last week or the week before? I can't remember. We shouldn't allow people to intimidate us. Amen? Because you never know who the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to. And so, brothers and sisters, it's all about bringing salvation to others. When we came back from San Antonio, you know, I got with our staff, and I said, guys, we need to go after this thing. And we started praying that in the next 12 months, God will give us at least to see 48 people baptized in the next 12 months. And so I'm sharing that because I want us to be praying that every day. To see 48 people by July 15th of 2013 become Christians. God, I believe, is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or can even imagine. But he's going to take every single one of us. It just can't be a few people, quote unquote, opening up their mouths and showing people the Bible. It's got to be all of us. Amen? It was very exciting last night. You know, I was dropping a brother home. And as I was leaving, I saw another sister. You know, she had come to this particular house with a non-Christian. I believe they were studying the Bible. That's exciting. You know, that's what needs to be going on Wednesday night, on Tuesday night, on Monday night, on Friday night, or Saturday, whatever it is you want to do. And a lot of us are married, and this is where I'm going to end. I know that a lot of us are married with kids, and we really want to reach out to other married people. But they also have kids. And so it's like, man, it's hard to get with married people, you know. I got to get a babysitter, they got to get a babysitter. And so, you know, we can't make this thing happen. Brothers and sisters, I believe God created Skype for disciples. I believe God created Skype for disciples. Skype is free. Okay? You're paying for internet connection. You've paid for it anyway. All you need to do is go to www.skype.com and download it to your computer. That's it. Ask that man or that woman to also download it to their computer. They've gone through their day. They've had dinner. They've talked in their kids. You've talked in your kids. Instead of sitting down and start watching television, get on the computer. Get that man on the computer on the other side and look at the scriptures with him via Skype. Can I get an amen, church? You solve the babysitting problems. They don't need a babysitter. I don't need a babysitter. If you are in that aspect of your life. And that way, I believe we can really reach a lot of people. The technology is there. Let's use it. I love texting. Text them the scriptures you're going to be talking about. And say, you know, take a glance at these verses. I'm going to call you at 9 o'clock on Skype. And we can talk through them. You've done a Bible study. Amen? And it's free. I've said it so many times. I like free. Free is good. Amen? Let's take advantage of it. The kids are already in bed. You don't have to worry about them. If they cry, I promise you, you will hear them. But it's time for us as a church, singles, marrieds, prime timers, campus students, teens, it's time for us to bring salvation to others. Because people are searching. I know that's our heart. Let's go do it. So please, let's be praying. The next 12 months, actually, the countdown has already started. I said July 15th, that we'll see 48 people baptized into Christ. And I believe God will give us more than that. Amen?